You're listening to a Tabletop Game Talk side chat, where we go in depth on a game or topic that's just too big to fit on our regular show. If this is the first time with us, be sure to check out our weekly episodes every Tuesday, wherever you listen to your podcasts, on YouTube, or on our website, tabletopgametalk.com. Now, let the side chat begin. Hi, this is Chris, and I'm here today with Brent Critchfield from Studio Woe, and today we're going to talk about, this is your segue, Brent.
Oh, we're talking about Gruff, Rage of the Trolls.
Awesome.
Tactical card game about monster goats.
Yes. Gruff, a game about monster goats. That really basically captured it all. I don't know that we actually need to go any further.
All right, it's a wrap.
Yeah, good. We're done.
Succinct.
Yeah. Now, we've actually met a couple times over the past few years. I met you in Austin a couple years ago. I think you were just launching the base set, and we were at a convention called ChupacabraCon.
ChupacabraCon. Yeah, that's a good little show.
Yep.
Tiny little show. I think you're probably like one of like five people there.
Yeah. Well, and I flew in from Chicago too. So people are like, wait, you're from Chicago? I'm like, yeah, you know. There were some special guests that I wanted to see, and then I met you as well, so that was a bonus.
Man, you flew all the way out from Chicago to Austin for ChupacabraCon.
Yep.
Man, you might have been the most traveled person there.
I think so. I think the con had about 450 people total.
Yeah, that year. Yeah, it's growing a good bit, but yeah.
Yep. Well, small world, because at that convention, I met an artist who did the art for our podcast logo. And commission her for art and stuff because she's fantastic and really, really well priced. That's Tristan Dunman, if anyone wants to look her up on Twitter. She does commissions. But yeah, I love her art. So I'm always like, hey, can you do me this or that? Or I'm working on this game. How about you give me some art for this or whatever?
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it was worth the trip. I did not make the trip this year because it is a really long one. But maybe next year I'll end up going back.
I didn't make the trip to ChupacabraCon either, and it's 5 minutes away from my house.
So. Yeah. So I like it. I spent a lot of time hanging out with the people, just the special guests there. So that was a good time. Anyway,
yeah, that's... ChupacabraCon is one of those shows where I've had a ton of people show up like after the fact, just like you, and said like, oh yeah, I met you at ChupacabraCon. I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the small cons are nice because it's very personal, right? Like you get more time to spend with designers and, creative people, and you can just kind of sit them down and have a conversation. So,
yeah, for sure.
And then we just bumped into each other at Origins. Yep. What, as we record, this is Thursday. So I guess 7 days ago, 6 days ago. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I run into you and I'm like, oh man, I love your game. I played it with my fiance. We took a cruise and played it. And then she ran into you individually, said, oh yeah, me and my fiance really love this game. And then we discovered, wait a minute, did we both tell the same story?
Yep, you did.
Yep. So I figured I want to have you on the show because this game is cool. There's some really cool upcoming things. But we should probably start talking about the game.
Yeah.
So what is Gruff? Give me the story.
So, yeah, sure. So Gruff is a tactical combat card game about mutated monster goats. And the story is that once upon a time, there were three billy goats, Gruff. And they're trying to cross a bridge, and they got stopped by this troll that wanted to eat them. But the goats outsmarted the troll and knocked him off the bridge and killed him. And when that happened, the shepherds realized, but you know what? We've been really using goats the wrong way this entire time. What we really need to do is weaponize our goats. So using black magic and foul science and forbidden breeding practices, you have made the ultimate team of the meanest, weirdest, fattest goats the world has ever seen. And one day you're taking your goats out for a walk and trying to cross a bridge, and there's this other shepherd coming from the other direction with this team of alley goats. So of course there's no choice except to fight to the death. So that's what we do. Fight to the death, battle goats. But in the most recent upcoming version, you can actually fight with your friend against one of the trolls that's returned. So the trolls have come back for revenge, and you've got to team up with your erstwhile enemies to take them down.
I love the fact that this head-to-head game, and we'll get into the details of what makes this game distinct from other card games, but in this age of games going solo play, even this can have a solo play to it, and I'm really looking forward to that too, because I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I actually really like the... it's hard to say, like, oh yeah, I made this game and I really liked it. But I really like the solo play, and that we added in Gruff Rage of the Trolls. That's up on Kickstarter right now. The fighting the trolls, it's a great way to like tune your decks, and it's also super challenging. I lose probably generously about 3/4 of the time.
Nice. So the thing that makes Gruff different, and what caught my attention to this, and you can certainly jump in whenever, because obviously I'm a little excited about the game. you have a shepherd, and your shepherds have life. So that's one of their stats, which seems pretty straightforward and fine. But they also have crazy. So these goats drive your shepherds crazy.
Yep.
And as your shepherds get crazy, they get better at controlling their goats, because the goats are crazy too.
Yep. You got to be a little bit insane to engage in a goat battle. And the crazier and crazier you get, the more willing you are to do strange and otherworldly things with your goats. So it's thematically really fun. It's based around the idea of just goats just being super annoying, and that annoyance can kind of build up and let you do cool stuff. But mechanically, I really like the resource system because it's exponential. So at the beginning of the game, first turn you'll have like 1, 2, maybe 5 of these crazy resources, and a couple turns later you'll be up to 30. So the game takes this really crazy turn where the decisions you make at the very beginning of the game have an exponential effect at the end of the game. And so everything kind of snowballs in this insane way.
Yeah. So, after you choose your shepherd with the crazy, you're going to choose 3 goats, right?
Yep.
And each goat, and this is it's like a deck building mechanic that you would do outside of the game. That's the metagame of it. Each goat has a stack of cards, and I want to say 20-ish.
Yeah, it's I think 15 cards per goat, and then you make a deck out of 8 cards for each of those goats. So you pick your 8 favorite goat cards, ability cards from each of the goats, and shuffle them together to make your deck. And if you get a Clash of the Battle, you get the expansion, which is kind of a standalone starter set. You can actually pick pre-recommended starting cards that have little stars in the bottom right corner. So you can really quickly just decide on pick those 8 cards. Shuffle them together and make your deck, and then you're good to go.
Yep. And there's no build restrictions as far as like this card's that many points, that card's this many points. The cards are self-balanced where they have a certain crazy cost to them, and whether or not they stay in play or reuse or any of those things are just built into the card. So, I mean, you could, although probably wouldn't want to, but you could just randomly grab 8 cards and say, all right, I'm just going to play with these 8 cards from this goat, these 8, and be good to go. You wouldn't have a unbalanced deck. You just probably wouldn't have the most optimal deck.
Right. And I've heard from a lot of people that choose randomly and have a really good time. It's one of those things where you'll want to pick a deck and just kind of get in there as quickly as possible. And then after your first game, you'll learn a little bit from that experience, and then pick up and try again and be better at it. It's a game where you can build up a lot of skill at the system.
Yep. I think what it does is it kind of captures that ability to build decks, but it's not so overwhelming because, you know, once you pick your 3 goats, and honestly, you can just pick them by name. And I'm going to read some of the names here. Let's see. We have Bubbles, Oldari, Zumberg, Gusto, Noggin963, Blastoff, Licky, and Twiddle. Don't forget Twiddle and Skitters.
<Don't forget Twiddle>.
So, like, you kind of pick. You can pick your goats based on picture, based on name, eventually based on like how they work with other goats. But however you pick it, once you pick 3 of them, now you just have 15 cards. Pick 8 of those, and it's pretty straightforward. Like, anybody can build a deck with those restrictions, because you don't have this huge, overwhelming amount of choices. And again, you really can't choose poorly. And like, even if you just chose by name alone, you'd still have a fun game in front of you.
Yep. And you can build an experience. And a lot of what Gruff is about learning to work with what you've got. It's about trying to make the best thing out of the cards that you have. You know, a lot of other LCG style games, you'll have an infinite amount of cards, it seems like, to choose from, and you can make your perfectly honed thing. But in Gruff, you have to pick 8 cards from this little pool of 15, which means some of those cards probably wouldn't be the ideal thing you would stick in your deck. And so the game is about trying to make those things work.
Yep.
And make them as awesome as you can.
Yep. So to play the game, you put your three goats out in front of you, and there's little clips that you put on the card. So each goat has stats such as mean, which is basically your attack power, fat, which is essentially your hit points, and then weird, which is how crazy you drive your shepherd.
Yep.
So, and each goat has a different maximum, a different starting amount, but all three of them are in front of you, along with your shepherd. And your shepherd he's kind of the thing you're attacking, but not actively attacking back. You know, the goats are doing all the work.
Right. Yeah. The game is about monster goats. Shepherds are kind of almost props inside the circumstance of the game.
Yep.
It's a game of murderous monster goats.
But their shepherds are still unique, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All of them have their unique. Some of them have different starting crazy scores. A lot of them have different life. But their main core thing that separates them from each other is that they all have an ability. A lot of them have what's called a threshold ability. That when their life crosses a certain point, an effect will trigger, which will typically give you a bonus. So you might take a really big hit and be like, "Oh no, I just took this gigantic hit," and you're like, "And I also just drew three cards, one of which is going to win me the game." So,
yep. So an example of that, I'm just looking at one of the shepherds from the Clash of the Battle Goats, which is the first expansion. And this is Ark. Mm-hmm. She starts with 8 life, which is typical. Most have a maximum of 8 life. Many start at 8 life, but they could have different starting values.
Yep.
But her ability is Unmasked Glory. So the first time Ark's life crosses her threshold, enemy Gruffs lose 1 fat and then take 1 damage. So essentially, their hit point maximum goes down and they take a point of damage on top of that. Is that what that's saying?
Yeah, that's right.
And that threshold is from 4 to 3. So if you're attacking and you're saying, okay, you're at 4 hit points, I don't want to just do 1 point of damage to you, because if I do, all my guys are going to get hurt. I really want to like try for a big kill and take you from 4 to 0 if I'm going to attack you at all. So that's kind of what makes the shepherds a little bit unique as you go through.
Yeah, Ark in particular creates this like huge problem of you know, I got to finish you off quickly, or I need to spend the time buffing up all my goats so that they can survive this huge blast that's going to go off when she crosses her threshold.
Yep. There's another one here, Chew, killer kitten style. So he's kind of a Chinese monk-ish character.
Yeah. So Chew was actually one of the goats that was part of the shepherd tier of the first campaign. So in our Kickstarter campaigns, we let different players design and build their own shepherds. And so one of our backers really liked the idea of Goatman Chew, and his online handle was Killer Kitten. And so I was like, we're going to make Killer Kitten defense style. And so he's this kind of combat monk with his defensive tactics.
Yep. Well, I love this because, yeah, so he starts at 8 life, but once he crosses his threshold, which is really only 6, so once he's at 5 life or lower, all of his Gruffs get 1 defense. Yep. Which, you know, that's kind of a big deal. It's like, oh, I've weakened you, but now all of your goats are stronger.
Yep.
So the game plays, we're getting there eventually. You have your 3 goats out there, you have a hand of cards, and that is 5, I believe?
Yeah, you start with 5. The maximum hand size is 7. But yeah, you start with 5, and there's a lot of different ways to draw more cards.
Yep. And then you play your cards on your turn. You initialize attacks. I'm doing this from memory, but you initialize attacks, and then on your opponent's turn, they're going to defend against those attacks. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of one of the cool things about Gruff is that while you can only play cards during your turn, during your play cards phase, most of the pivotal cards in the game have an effect that influences your attack for the turn. And your attack doesn't deal damage until the beginning of your next turn. And that's a long way of saying that your opponent gets to take their entire turn to respond to what you're doing. So if you charge at them with an attack, you can use your turn to jump in the way of the attack, defend, or launch a counterattack. It, all the mechanics together make it a constant state of attack and counterplay.
Yep. And so in this game plays, basically, I take my full turn, then you take your full turn. So when it's not my turn, I can be like kind of planning out my next turn. I don't have to say, oh, well, I'm going to interrupt you with this or do that, right?
Yeah, that's right. There's no interruption in the game in that way, which means you can feel confident when you play a card that the card is going to have an impact on the game. But there's still a large amount of interaction. We just created the interaction in a different space in the game.
Awesome. Now, we should talk about, I mentioned already, the first expansion, which is Clash of the Battle Goats. Mm-hmm. So Clash is just, you know, Gruff, Clash of the Battle Goats. It's the same font. And you said this is a standalone expansion. So you can just get this and play with this expansion by itself, right?
Yep. It's a standalone expansion. It's actually designed and built to be the simplest, most elegant way to get into the world of Gruff is just pick up Clash of the Battle Goats. It's got enough goats and shepherds for two people to play right off the bat. And you can just get in, start having fun with that. And then add the quote unquote core set, the Gruff set to that when you want more goats, more shepherds, and you want to dive deeper into the world of Gruff.
Yep. And who wouldn't want to have more goats and more shepherds, to be honest? So
you can never have too many.
Yep. Now, one of the things that also attracts me to this game is the art. And I hear that there's a story behind the art, and actually the art may have driven the game.
Oh yeah, very much so. So I have been actually working on a tacticals miniatures game for a really long time, and my wife Virginia Critchfield, who's extremely accomplished artist in the video game industry, was making this sketchbook that was all full of monster goats. Her idea was, I just want to practice the skill of concept art by picking a core theme and then doing as many different variations on that theme as I can. And she picked baby goats. So she had this sketchbooks full of baby goats. And I got inspired by her baby goats and decided to kind of combine forces. And that's kind of what was the starting germinating seed for the idea of Gruff.
Yep. I think that, you know, one of the things that inspires game designers in general, like you can have this idea, you have the seed of an idea and you start working with the mechanics, but at some point you have to have like something behind it. Art usually works better than anything else in my experience. So if you have the art to already drive that game to completion, it's so much easier to keep you inspired as you're going through and testing this stuff. So you know.
Yeah, for sure. And the design space I like to get into a lot is I'll look at one of these drawings and I'll think, who is this guy? What is this goat's personality? Like, what does he do in the world that is different from any other goat? And then try to express that in his mechanics. And that's usually the first step that I take in building the world.
Yeah, which is also inspiring because, you know, when you look at this game, and this game doesn't have, it's not like magic level of cards, but even in the first, we can just look at the Clash of the Battle Goats. It looks like there's, 30, 60, 75 cards, not counting the goats and the shepherds, in the box. Mm-hmm. Each one of those cards has some kind of power or ability on it. And when you think about coming up with that many powers and abilities, you can't just do it in a vacuum. You know, there's really no personality to it. So I like the idea that you look at the art and you say, okay, what can this person do? What can this goat do? You know, whatever its easy things, what are its like super special, awesome powers? And that really is kind of inspiring. So,
I like to think about what does this Gruff love? Like, what is his favorite thing in the world? And what does he hate? And how does he respond to the thing that he hates? And then who is his best friend?
Yep.
Like in the world of Gruff, who does he get along the best with? And then I kind of use those questions to help flush out the initial design once I get to that point.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. So let's talk about the solo play and the latest in the line of Gruff. You have a Kickstarter. The Kickstarter, this is going to drop on Friday, June 23rd. Your Kickstarter is done on the following Tuesday.
The 28th at midnight technically midnight on the 29th, but basically
end of day.
The end of day on Tuesday is when it's going to wrap up.
Yep. And this looks really cool. If you missed the first, if you don't have the base set, if you don't have the first expansion, you can get that all through the Kickstarter. What makes what makes this expansion different? I know we talked about solo play. So, kind of go in. How does that solo play work in this head-to-head?
yeah, there's a lot of different things going on in here. But the main thing that is the crux of the new expansion, which is called Rage of the Trolls, is the reemergence of the trolls. The trolls went into hiding after the basically Gruffs were perfect weaponized goat troll killing machines, and they've come back. The trolls have with a vengeance, and they're stronger than ever. And so you have to team up to take them down. And basically, there's a solo play, which is at the beginning of each of your turns, the troll is going to get a stat called Rage, which powers its attacks and controls what behavior it can do. And then you flip over a behavior card, and he's going to do things like dodge out of the way of your attacks, buff himself up, play nasty mutations on himself or on you, and then will occasionally launch attacks at you, depending on the type of troll that you're fighting. We've currently unlocked two trolls. We're on the verge of unlocking our third troll. There's a bunch that we can add into the game. But basically, he'll take a turn. He'll try to murder you. You're going to try to mitigate his behavior and launch a counterattack. Basically, you play against a troll the exact way that you play against a player. Almost all of the cards and abilities that already exist in Gruff work just fine on trolls.
Awesome.
And that's kind of what I wanted to do, is create a single-player experience that you could use to test out the decks that you'd like to take to your game night in advance, make sure that they're working in pristine order, and also just to create an enjoyable solo play experience. And the co-op just grows out of solo play, because the troll just changes its target after each turn and gets bigger and meaner based on how many opponents it's facing.
Now, I'm noticing this says 10 mutation tokens. Those seem new. Are those new?
Yep, they're brand new. So a mutation token is a card, and it might end up getting renamed but because it's not like something that you punch out of the cardboard. But it's actually like a card, and on one side it says Fury, on the other side it says Fester, and Fury is a mutation that increases the damage of the thing that it's attached to. Fester is a mutation that slows your ability to grow your stats. And the nice thing about mutation tokens is that, one, the trolls can play them. So since the troll only has a behavior card, he'll have different things on his behavior card that will throw in these mutation tokens into play. And then I realized, like, the trolls are using these, but the goats could use them as well. And so I have different goats that can throw in these different mutation tokens. And what's fun about that is I can, with a single card, put several different mutations into play, which there's a lot of effects in the game that trigger off of mutations under any play. And those things get, you know, exponentially better as you have cards that can throw a lot of them into play at once.
Yeah, that's actually one of the cool things about the game, and you mentioned it before, the exponential growth. Like, you start out, you're just kind of pinging away, and as you gather the cards in your hand, you're coming up with, okay, I just need this much crazy, and then I can play this card, and if they don't do anything crazy, because they still get to react after I do my attack, you know, I can punch through here, and then they do a switcheroo, and this, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, there's a lot of punch and counterpunch, a lot of combat melee where you're dodging out of the way of attacks, trying to mitigate incoming attacks. A lot of kind of like a chess-like sort of positioning where you can end a game really early by cornering an opponent and launching an attack at the exact right spot at the exact right time, and killing your opponent just by sheer creativity and finesse. So
yep. And then you sit down and you say, okay, let's play again, but wait a minute, I'm going to use this particular goat instead, and wait, let me swap this card out. All right, ready, let's do this.
Yeah, that's actually one of the like design spaces that I kind of got into. Was I was frustrated with other like collectible card games where you build a deck and then you play against your friend and then you get destroyed, or they destroy you, or you destroy them, and you couldn't really play another game until one of you went back to the store and spent a ton of money to make another deck. And that's not really very fun. So I wanted to make it so that you could pivot on the design that you made when you made your initial deck really quickly. So you could say, you know, oh, I just got beat, but I bet if I swapped out this card from Skitters with this other card from Skitters, or I swapped out Bubbles for Toof, I'd be able to take you down. And I can do that in just like 2 minutes, and I get right back into the fight and play another match.
Yep. Yep. And now this is also a standalone expansion. So it includes 90 ability cards, 6 monster goats, and looks like there's stretch goals for the number of shepherds that it includes, stretch goals for new trolls that could be included. You've already funded.
Yep.
But
we funded, we're at almost 250% funded right now. We hit our initial funding goal of 10,000 within the first 8 hours of the campaign.
Nice. Yeah. So, and I want to see a lot more because you have some really cool stretch goals coming up.
Yeah, we got some big, terrible trolls coming up. And if they don't get unlocked, that means they're continuing to threaten the world with a Betwixt, and they will, they'll show up later after having wreaked havoc on the world. So, so we need to take them down so they don't tear up our IP.
Yes. So do your part, people. It's only the base game. If you were to get just the Rage expansion, is $25.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of game in this for $25. And you are also selling a combo tier, which is the Rage of Trolls expansion, the Clash of the Battle Goats expansion, plus the original Gruff, which is just a crazy amount of shepherds and goats, and the combinations at that point are in the billions, I'm sure, if not higher, actually. And all of that's for $75, which, again, is a great deal. It's essentially $25 a set.
Yeah, and I think that you actually also get a playmat and a pack of like alternate colored sliders. Yeah, you do.
Yep.
And the all of the $75 here.
Yep. I picked up the playmat from you because I actually didn't know that there was an expansion until I saw you at Origins, and I'm like, oh my God. And then you said, oh, we have playmats too. I'm like, oh yes, you do. And one for me. Thank you very much. So all of that plus the playmat, which is typically $20. And then the special red sliders. All that for $75 is a tremendous deal.
Yep. And this playmat, even though you already got another playmat, you'll really like this one because it's specifically built for a single player to take on a troll. So so this one's kind of optimized for where the troll's cards and decks go while you fight it. So you'll still get a lot of value out of it even if you get pick up a playmat from elsewhere.
All right, hold on. I got to go in here, change my pledge, add $20. which is fine. You know, I like the playmats. And continue. Update, confirm, done. And that's how I do it. I don't even think twice about it. So.
That's fantastic. You literally did. I just saw it go up. That's hilarious. Good job.
For you, it's one person at a time, but by tomorrow, everyone's like, okay, well, if Chris is doing it, I must do it.
Well, yeah, it seems like you really enjoyed the game since you picked it up at the ChupaCabraCon.
Yeah, I mean, because like I said, we, so for my listeners, they know my fiance and I are getting married on a cruise ship this coming October, but we wanted to take a trial cruise because she'd never been on a cruise before. And one of the games we brought with us was Gruff because it's very portable, very small, but has like so much replayability all in this one box. So I'm like, all right, so we're going to bring this along. And we probably played it on a 5-day cruise. We played it at least 3 of those days, several dozen games.
You should have better things to do on your honeymoon.
Well, there's a lot of time. Well, this was just the practice cruise. On the honeymoon, well, actually, to be completely honest, we plan on having a game night because we have like 40 people coming. So this will be one of those games. But yeah, we're just sitting back, drinking tropical drinks, sitting on the cruise ship, watching the ocean go by, playing Gruff. So,
you know, you would be surprised, but actually, like, fiancés are one of the people that I find play Gruff the most. It's like guys and their girlfriends or girls and their guy friends that just really like playing Gruff together. It's something that you can always come up with a new idea and then play with your significant other a lot. It's not actually that uncommon of a story. In fact, when I was at a convention recently, I was at PAX East and a couple came up to me and said, "We actually fell in love playing Gruff. Like this is the reason why we're together." And they were in the same boat. They're getting married as well. And that, you know, obviously that's the best compliment you can get.
Yeah. Well,
Your monster that's created a family. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Well, I think there's something to the game because, obviously, but it has the rules themselves are really straightforward and really simple. So it's not like Magic where, you know, you have to like decode what's going on each card and then all these complicated interrupt rules and all that kind of stuff. It's very straightforward. And the art is fantastic. So anybody looking at this, no matter what, you either say, oh my God, that's so cute, or oh my God, that's so gruesome and cute at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's something there where the aesthetic it's attractive. It's attractive. Both you got the strategy aspect of it, the aesthetic aspect of it. The rules are straightforward and easy, easy to learn, easy to pick up. Like, I don't know. I think it is a really good couples game. So good work. Congratulations. And thank you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I'm really happy to hear that. Whenever I hear about couples that are playing the game, it always makes me feel super awesome.
So is this your game, right? Studio Woe is basically Gruff. Are there other things? Because you mentioned that you were working on a tactical miniatures game, which this has a kind of that idea in it, but obviously it's not nearly as complicated as that. Is there any other products that you're working on or that you want to throw out there? Or is this really where you're focusing right now?
I think this week, this is definitely where I focused, but yeah, we do actually have another project that we intend to take to Kickstarter before the end of the year, which is called The Pirate Tanks of Skull Island. And I'll maybe just leave that hanging, but it's got a tactical component. It has a dexterity component. It's primarily a dexterity game, and that will be sneaky in the near future. That tactical minis game is still kind of floating around. It's one of those things where it's kind of done, and the gameplay is all really good, and it just takes some time and some resources to actually make a ton of minis. It's an expensive endeavor, so we're trying to grow into that.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. So you said Pirate Tanks of Skull Island?
Yeah.
All right.
Pirate Tanks of Skull Island.
That makes total sense. And as soon as you are ready to kickstart that, ping me so I can take a look at that.
Oh, I absolutely will. You know I will.
But no, we saw you at Origins. I'm like, I have to talk to you. So do you want to add anything else before we go? Because
another plug for the Kickstarter. It's been doing really good, but we can always use your support. We've got a couple other stretch goals. We're just actually a couple $100 away from unlocking our next stretch goal, which is a new troll called Khan the Immortal that I'd really like to add into the game. And he could make that possible. And we have, the campaign closes really soon. But if you miss the campaign, if you hear this, this dialogue a little bit late, we are going to be allowing late backers to join in through Crowdox, but you'll be able to find that straight from our, there'll be a link directly from our Kickstarter page to the ongoing campaign after the campaign closes.
Awesome. And I will include the link to the campaign in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, just check your podcast notes. It'll be the very top thing in there. Maybe not the very top. The very top thing would be like, Gruff is so cool. Oh, yeah. Check out the Kickstarter. I'm going to have to actually quote that now because otherwise people are going to be like, that's not what it said. And like I said, I wish you the best of luck because now I am personally invested and I want all of the trolls and all of the shepherds. And man, these playmats just look really cool too. I don't need all of the playmats, but maybe I'll change my mind on that. This Alpha Gamer tier looks nice. Just saying.
No, that one is sold out, but you can always, get lucky and have something open up. You get everything from the Alpha Gamer tier at the Shepherd tier as well. So you're feeling super saucy.
Yeah, and so for those who are listening, I'm going to let you go to the Kickstarter page so you can find out what the Alpha Gamer tier and the Shepherd tier is, because you really have to see it to understand why you'd want to do this. So, but yeah, I'm Alpha Gamer tier sold out. That makes me sad. It doesn't make Sydney sad. She's like, she's like, you just got another playmat. Like, yeah, but you want it. She's like, yeah, but that's not the point. No, I make her sound terrible. She never stops me from buying games. She's just like, all right, when are we gonna play it? I'm like, okay. So, All right. Well, Brett, thank you very much for talking to me. Brent from Studio Woe, designer, creator of Gruff, and really looking forward to all of the new games that you do in the future. And I'm going to keep an eye out for Studio Woe in general for making lots of cool stuff.
Thanks very much for having me on the show. It's great talking with you.
Great talking with you as well. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to another Tabletop Game Talk Side Chat. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out our weekly show if you don't already. It's available wherever you find your podcasts, on YouTube, and at the tabletopgametalk.com website. Until next time, keep playing games and having fun.